Amen. Praise the Lord. Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you could please kneel. We'll begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us on the Sabbath day with your presence, as you did last night, and every time we gather in your Son's name. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and blessing us with the light of rain if we are so worthy. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks, so you alone are glorified. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list and all those prayer requests that are being put into the room with answers that glorify you. And thank you so much for keeping us safe and warm, especially those of us here on the in the Midwest and on the East Coast that are getting pretty much inundated with snow. And so please keep everybody safe with these intense weather events. And thank you for changing the showbread on Sabbath day as you do each week. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Where we leave off here. We're on question number 15. And the question is, what is another name for all those that have become part of the body of Christ? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, says, whom now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Yeah, I've used this passage often when trying to explain to people who think they have to stay in a certain denomination to please God and gain heaven. You know, not only are they declaring the denominational name to be a god unto them, they are denying their very God. You know, they hope to please him, and instead, they sadden his heart. Thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting the verse in the room. You know, just as we are all saved as individuals and not as a group, you know, claiming you must be Catholic, Baptist, or Seventh-day Adventist to be saved is declaring that Colossians 1:24 is a lie and the denomination is, in fact, God. You know, how many of us have heard the Pope declare you must be Catholic to be saved? Probably just as many of us that have heard the SDA leader say you got to stay in the church to be saved. You know, this is no different than what the Pharisee of old said when Jesus walked among us, you know, preaching truth and exposing their blatant apostasy. You know, the people that followed Christ were saved. And those that follow their apostate leaders, regardless of that which Jesus spoke, and in today's world, regardless of that which Jesus wrote, they're not saved. They're putting more faith in the man than the creator of man. You know, and just as it was back then, it's going to be like that in the final days. Because Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. But people that refuse to study their own Bibles are left with no choice. They have to trust their religious leaders, because they think they're the ones that have the truth, because they don't open their Bibles. Yeah, it's just like this video I did yesterday that I'm going to be posting tonight or tomorrow, probably tonight, because ain't much to it. It's mostly just a video of it's actual telescopic photos of galaxies, just galaxies, 400,000 of them, and they put the galaxies in the computer, and so that the computer could put them in a certain position as to where they are in the actual universe. It's amazing how mankind continues to put more faith in those they call leaders instead of he that created those leaders. But as we saw 2,000 years ago, the men of the cloth were evil, and they were unable to discern the sign of the times. Or even he that stood before them as a Messiah, even though there were a couple of times, especially when he was talking in those parables, that they knew. You know, he was talking about them. It's sad, though, when you think about it. If you look around today and then you see things like, I think I put that in that video a couple of weeks ago about where I was mentioning what the Pope said back in 1998. Because I guess some of the work that we and others that believe like we do had hit their mark, and many people that were Catholics were leaving the Catholic Church because of the signs of the times, as well as other churches. And we know the ecumenical charge that's been there since the 60s. If the Vatican finds that a bunch of Baptists are stepping out, or a bunch of Lutherans are stepping out, or any other, like Episcopalians or even SDAs, they see them stepping out, they know that their one world church that was to be formed later, which actually happened on June 26, 2000, was going to be a little bit compromised. Because it wasn't only the Catholics that the Pope was getting, even though he did address it to just the Italians, when he said the end is not yet nigh. But we have him saying that in writing, just like the prophecy said. And then the president of the General Conference stated in November of 2017 that Sunday laws or any works towards that end was not seen in the pipeline of coming events. And yet people stay in the churches because the church, the denomination, has become their god. People literally go to jail upholding the name of their denomination. So I was trying to explain to that one man through his wife, because he wouldn't call me. He knew what I was going to say. So his wife called me. Creationist SDA Church. They approached me many years ago when we were on Fire Talk. Tried to get us to join their number. I says, I can't be part of that. What they were doing at the time, either that or the Shepherd's Rod. It was, I think both, actually. The Shepherd's Rod's approached us, too. I said, sorry, you know. And like they always do, they says, you'll be a pastor, leadership here. No. Have you ever seen my last name anywhere? No, it's not about me, it's about him. About him that created us. And so, as we saw 2,000 years ago, the grand majority of the people in the churches remain in those churches. While those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, follow the truth as it is in Jesus, because we are the bride. We follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, just like the prophecy stated. It's easy now to look back, and like I was kind of doing a little bit here this morning in Jeremiah, just looking at it, because I love seeing what him and Ezekiel went through at that time. And because it's more or less what we're going through. Babylon has taken all the churches. Well, Babylon took, Jerusalem, obviously, but Jeremiah did all he could while in the city, trying to warn them, clean up your act, repent, do this, do that. They wouldn't do it. And Ezekiel, he was already in captivity, and he was having a lot better way than Jeremiah was, because the people in the city didn't want to hear it, the majority anyway. Many of them did step out, praise God, and leave. But in many areas of the scripture, we see apostasy is, in fact, the main fruit and sign that a church has fallen beyond repair, and all those within it must leave. Hence the reason for Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. And, to be honest, I'm sick and tired of hearing SDA saying, you can't be calling us Babylon. So, well, your own prophet did it more than once. But because you trust your leaders, you don't know she ever said it. It's right there in her writings. But you're not the whore of Babylon. You're just one of the daughters. But they'll twist my words. They've done it many times. They've even edited it. You know, some of the things I've said, they have edited to make it look like I said things I didn't say. But I don't care. My father knows what I said. And so because the people don't study the Word of God for themselves, they trust their leaders and the lies that they proclaim and believe them when they say the church is going to go through, well, they're just going to repeat history. You know, the old adage, you know, history repeats itself. No, it don't. But when it comes to the wicked, yeah, because Satan's going to try the same tools over and over again if they work. That's why the lie he started, or stated rather, back in, well, he started it then too, but he stated back 2,000 years ago, it's the same lie today. And I'm talking about that, you know, 1,000 years of peace thing. A lot of people actually think, like you just put the word secret rapture on YouTube or on Google or something. Everybody's talking about it. They can't wait for it. Even though a lot of the prophecies that they say are supposed to happen after everybody supposedly leaves mysteriously. You know, they say that those prophecies can't happen until the Christians are gone. It's amazing how many Bible studies have been ignored lately in regards to how a lot of those prophetic events have already happened. But they won't mention that, just like Hal Lindsey keeps his trap shut in regards to what he wrote in Late Great Planet Earth back in the 90s. Because he was exposed as a false prophet, so don't bring that up, whatever you do. So here's the sticky wicket and all that. Satan is moving. He's moving those wolves to speak truth, but in a very twisted fashion. And what I mean is, those wolves that proclaim the truth is going to go through while standing in the Catholic, SDA, or Baptist, or whatever other churches, are actually telling the truth, as Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, but they lie in how they define the word church. The Bible clearly says that the church is established in the faith, according to Acts 16:5. But were you also aware that the word church is translated from the Greek word ecclesia, which means a called out company of assembly? Called out from what? Need I echo Revelation 18 again? So all those that are staying in the church are saying the ship has to go through, or, you know, you got to be Catholic to be saved or whatever. That's not the church. That's not the definition of church. That's the same definition of all those that are going to drown in the days of Noah. You know, mankind is always... they've always been tempted to place themselves and their own man-made efforts far above that of the Lord who made them. I mean, hence the reason they demand you must be Catholic or Baptist or SDA just to be saved. You know, but the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And a lot of them say, well, God gave us this name. God gave us the title. Yeah, but he also could take it away. You putting your God in a box? Fine. I'm not going to do it. You can do it. Go for it. We're not doing it. We follow the Lamb with us wherever he goeth. You kick him out of the church, guess where we're going? And that name, whereby no other name given among men can save you, that name, and the only name that can save you is Jesus Christ. And seeing how he is the true head of the church, all denominations that have been created by men, be they obedient at the start or not, because a lot of them are, this means unless they hold to the standard set forth by Jesus Christ, then they cannot be considered a church at all. Because that's not what defines church anymore. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion. And thanks again, Brother Sean, for putting all those in there. But for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. But everywhere you look, you see people claiming they're in a true church. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that one prophecy. Jesus said that there are many who are going to call themselves prophets, or many are going to say that he's here or he's there or he's here or he's there. Drive down some roads in these small towns out in my neck of the woods where they got a little road called Church Road. And there's a reason they call it Church Road, because that's where all the churches built their buildings. And you could literally see a marquee in front of every church, more or less saying, don't go to the church next door, go to this one, Jesus is here. They all say it. They all say, Jesus is here, Jesus is here, Jesus is here. It's not in any of those churches. You know, when you have eyes to see, you know what apostasy is. And strangely enough, in the same breath wherein they claim they are in the true church, they all admit at the same time that their church has fallen into apostasy. Hypocrites. That's what Jesus would call them, or is calling them. They declare they're in a true church just like the Jews did 2,000 years ago. But they also declare that, yes, we know our leaders are in apostasy. But here's the clincher of it all. Revelation wasn't written until 95. We have it now. We have the definition of apostasy. Well, we have it from the Old to the New Testament, of course, but we also have Revelation 18. I mean, they could somehow come up with the excuse that we didn't have it penned, and they didn't believe in the New Testament anyway back then anyway, so it doesn't matter. But we have it. And so this confirms their confusion goes very deep. And why on earth would anyone who follows the Lamb whithersoever he goeth want to get off that clear path of salvation to join those that are on a clear path of destruction? That is so clearly visible just by their confusion alone. Because they all say the same thing. We're in the true church. And yeah, the church is in apostasy. Well, then how could you even call it the true church? Because that's not the definition of church. Church is called out of apostasy. It's not rocket science. Either you're in apostasy and then disobedient to the God that calls you out, or you are obedient and have left apostasy to be with the God that called you in to his church. And so I echo that which Peter declared when some of the church were being led away by the apostate preachers and scoffers of old. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, the following. As also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which with the error of the wicked, hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with it, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And he also stated in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the... Now, this shocks me that some people can read this and not catch it. But he says, for if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You know, it kind of reminds me of the demon being cast out. And then you wander around not really doing anything for the Lord, just figuring, okay, I'm headed to heaven. And then he brings seven demons because he says, wow, look at the house. It's all cleaned up. Let's party hardy. And it's also stated in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 to 27, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even to this day they do this. Oh, we don't like organized church. Okay, well, let's just look up and see all the stars in heaven. Let's just declare our God evil because he has everything well organized up there. I mean, because that's what they're actually doing. They don't like organized church. It says, well, then if you want a disorganized church, Satan's right down the road with open arms. So again, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if you don't see it now, you're in a heap of trouble. For if we sin willfully, there's the key, because a lot of people get scared by this passage. For if we sin willfully, which means you've decided, you've had enough of Christianity, you're going to go back to it. You're backslidden and you're staying there. So if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Because now you're no longer going to repent and seeking it. Could care less now, right? But he goes on and he says, there's no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, I can go on and on, as there are many warnings in the Word of God regarding how we are to respond to apostasy. There are no gray areas in right and wrong. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Either you believe or you don't. Either you trust Jesus or you don't. If they declare sin is sanctified by God, as so many people do, and one of their favorite ways of doing it is, well, I can't believe God would let this happen. I mean, I'm a good person at heart, and I don't, hurt other people, and so I don't think he's going to cause me to go to hell or ask me to go to hell because I just, didn't keep the Sabbath or decided to drink alcohol or whatever. I'm not really hurting anybody but myself, God would never do that. Well, you can make up God any way you want. Those are the kind of people that would literally, even to this day, still do it, because they're all over the place. They would make gods out of wood, hay, and stubble. They would just create a god after their own image as to what they think God would approve of. So they can make, and then they, what's worse, and this is the Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types, what's worse is these people call themselves Christians. Obviously, just to take away their shame, but at the same time, and I can't believe, like, I've had people tell me right to their face after they declared something sinful, overwhelmingly sinful, is no big deal because, and I got a stare down once from this one woman saying, because the Holy Spirit told me. I mean, she tried to, do the ruffled brow and try to, put me in my place kind of thing. This was many, many years ago. And she said that, because I says, well, what you just said there and what you're doing is sin according to the scripture. And so you've got to stop. That's why you're going through. Because she asked my advice. Says, why am I going through these situations? I said, well, if you're allowing Satan to have permission to be in your home, don't blame God. You got to blame yourself now. God's not punishing you. You are. God steps back and then your punishment comes and then you blame God. And so, she gave me the hard, stern look and declared something. And it was all I could do to not laugh. Because that's what the Lord thy God does in the book of Psalms. He laughed them in derision. He says, you actually think that because you have a stern enough look, and this is more, I'm trying to remember, from memory, you can do a stern look as you want. You can literally stick a gun in my face and make the same stern look. It's not going to make it true. There's no gray areas in right and wrong. And just because you don't believe it. Now, I understand the Lord winks at our times of ignorance. But when the truth is uttered and it's declared unto you and you deny it anyway, because this wasn't something that, even a babe in Christ would know this thing was sinful. I'm not going to get into what it was, but, with the person says, I can't believe that God would allow me to go to hell because of something as trivial as this. I says, well, you can call sin trivial all you want. You can scream it at the top of your lungs, in fact, at the end of the 1,000 years, because it ain't going to make it any different. You're still going to be on fire until you stop screaming. Because that fire does go out, by the way. It plainly says in Malachi that we walk on their ashes. But because no one reads Bibles, they think they're going to live for all eternity in hellfire. And so that's more or less the key here, is what I was trying to explain to her. But that stern look never came back, praise God. Whether it changed her life or not, I don't know. But I wasn't going to back up. Because I'm not the one that wrote it. All I can do is speak it. And so again, there's no gray areas in right and wrong. If they declare a sin is sanctified by our God, And yes, they do so when they say, you know, homosexual marriage is okay or Allah is God. I mean, come on, how ridiculous is that? You could see the political correctness behind that because they all have the 501c3. By law, they have to be PC, which is politically correct. And if they in a 501c3 church declare Allah is not God, they can get themselves in a little bit of trouble. But yet everybody knows, everyone that embraces and follows Allah, they hate and even kill and torture and kill Christians. Or homosexuality, which is 10 times worse, because martyrdom, hey, that's a blessing sometimes. Actually, all the time, if it's true martyrdom. But homosexuality, it's an outright abomination. They also say women can be ordained. Now, this is amazing when you think about it, because that only comes from the higher-ups. The church leaders have to make that decision, and they're making it. And I'm not male chauvinist pig or anything, because I know many women of God, and you understand your place in the church. It doesn't mean that it's any, you know, you stand next to your husbands. Women are very highly thought of in the scripture. Check out Esther. Check out Ruth. I mean, there's quite a few women in the scriptures. Prophetesses. What about the woman that prophesied when the infant Jesus was brought in to be, declared? She stepped right up, said what she said. They also say Sunday is the Sabbath. Or they say Sunday, Sabbath is no big deal in the SDA church. I did a video about that. No big deal. They said that back in 321 AD, too. Try to calm the people down that got all scared because Constantine said you got to keep Sunday holy now. And you know how Rome is. If you don't keep it holy, they'll kill you. So to calm the people, that's no big deal. It'll help bring the pagans in. But then after they bowed to paganism, giving them their own Sabbath and claiming it Christianity, the pagans brought all their quote-unquote blessings with them. Everything from Christmas to genuflecting before a plus sign. Not a cross, but a plus sign. Either way, it's a cross. And so they claim homosexual marriage is okay. They claim women can be ordained. Allah's God. Sunday is Sabbath. Sunday's no big deal. You got to stay in the church. That, you know, is an apostasy. But thanks to our eyes being blessed with the ability to see God's truth, and with such eyes can see that all of that goes directly against the written will of our God, to remain in a Catholic, SDA or Baptist church means we are in open sin against all that our God stated to be sin in his word if we remain in apostasy. And this is why we came out, all of us, myself included. I was never SDA, but I was Catholic 29 years. And so if we remain in apostasy, we will die the death. No getting around that. Hebrews 3 verses 12 to 14 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." And I pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.